All right, hello. It's 3 minutes past one. We just did the show. James is here.
Yo.
Scott.
Hello.
Matt.
Hi.
Barry. Barry, you here?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry.
He just had a wee. Did you wash your hands?
Yes.
Well done. Right, so we've just done the show. James, what would you score out of 10?
I'd score a good 7.75.
Okay, thanks very much.
I thought it was better than that.
What do you think, Barry?
I thought it was a 9.
A 9. 9 out of 10 from Barry Glendenning. He's not as fat as he sounds. Here are the best bits of the show. In association with Capital One, the credit card that supports the supporters. Right, today we will not mention that England are only going to win the Ashes 4-1.
To be bowled out for 136 and then 179, no good at all. So England have lost, they're 1-0 down, and we start again at Adelaide in 10 days' time.
There's an upbeat Jack Bannister. We also won't talk about Froch Groves.
This is going to be controversial in the extreme. The referee, Howard Foster, stopped the contest in the ninth round in favour of Carl Froch.
Unless, of course, Carl Froch phones us up. We got in this morning and they said, right, just, you know, we're trying to get Carl. Everyone is. We're ringing Carl Froch maybe twice a minute. If he answers the phone, we just put him straight on air without telling him who we are or what we're doing, just so we can get a word from him saying, you all right? And he'll say, yeah, I guess. Barry Glendenning from The Guardian is here. Barry, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. I'm buoyed by the news that red squirrels are making a comeback.
It's truly tremendous, isn't it? I spent most of my youth, basically, the two bits of information that were constantly rammed down my throat. One was how evil the grey squirrel was for coming from America and eating the red squirrel, or eating the red squirrel's nuts, to be more specific, I think. And the other bit of information you always got was just literally your whole life about how frigid a panda is. And how you can never get two pandas to ever mate. So in a week which has not been an extraordinary success for English and British sport, it is good that the red squirrel is making a comeback.
Yeah, well, when Bob Ballard announced it, you actually shouted yes.
Do you know what?
And I did a sort of a 10-minute fist pump.
There was not been much to cheer about recently, but, you know, genuinely, I was excited about it. Have you had a nice week, Barry? You've done anything interesting?
It was all right. I went to see a preview of the Manchester United documentary Class of 92.
Okay.
That was good. Very funny.
Is it good? Because I saw the trailer and I thought, that is brilliant. They've got Beckham, Scholes, Giggs, but who else they got?
The Nevilles.
In a room. They've taken them to Nando's and then they chat over chicken about their life. Is that
correct? Yeah, and we kind of get to eavesdrop, but it's incredibly funny. Nicky Butt is the sort of alpha male in the group.
Is he really?
Yeah, yeah. And Paul Scholes is remarkably funny. Surprisingly funny.
I reckon he would be.
Well, I'd never really heard him speak
before. No. I think you have to go. Doesn't he go in disguise to Oldham Athletic? And you have to, if you really want to hear Paul Scholes, you have to just walk around Boundary Park hoping to find Paul Scholes dressed as a washerwoman. And then eventually you'll hear what he sounds like. But I did think the trailer would be great. The film, the full length one, will be rubbish. But you say it's good.
No, I really, really enjoyed it. And I think fans of any team, not just Manchester United, will enjoy it.
Okay, good.
Put your one-eyed tribalism to one side.
Just for once.
It's a very heartwarming film about friendship.
Do you think I would cry, given how soft I am?
Yes.
Like, at what point in the... Because there are some shows where, like, Secret Millionaire, where I'll only cry at the end. There are some, like... Which is the one where Nicky Cameron and Davina McCall get families back together? Long lost family or something. Literally, from minute one, I'm in tears.
And I would bet money that you will cry during class, and you laugh.
That Educating Yorkshire one. Did you see that?
No.
The guy with the stammer at the end stood up. I mean, I wasn't. I was just crying. I was inconsolable. You know, I was just totally. I was like bereft. I had no energy.
Have you ever cried watching Neighbours?
I get a lump in my throat. I'd say.
No tears.
But no, I don't think I've got to tears yet. No. I will let you know. Right, we've got an agenda for today's show. I've written in Biro, biathlon, vomit and frotch. the so like, hopefully we'll get to those three things, but they're not on the printed out agenda. Point one, we're going to do a phone-in connected to the world of sleep. Point two, we're going to do a phone-in on the subject of chance. Point three, we talked to Jason...
Sorry, is that chance as in the element of chance, luck?
No. Chance as in singing at sporting events. This has been a phone-in that has been pushed onto us by the bosses.
And neither of us are particularly keen.
There's been a dictate. Well, I wasn't so keen until the Twitter started coming in, and I think there are some really good ones. Clearly, there are many offensive. As you said in the office, if it's not offensive, it's not funny. But we have to try and avoid those because it's we're on the radio. Three, we talked to Jason Manford. At least we really hope we do. I did text him about half an hour ago and he didn't pick up. So it may be another. We may change the phone into where isn't Jason Manford.
So
much like the successful Ugo Ehiog phone.
This is yet another of your comedian buddies who doesn't actually like you and probably has a restraining order. It's Jack Whitehall, Jason Manford.
Do you know what's funny? Is quite a lot of the
I could get Darrow Breen to come in as a late sub.
Oh, yeah, that'd be brilliant. The thing is, right, there are some, you know, sort of my also Z-list celebrities. And quite often they'll get in touch with me and say, oh, can you retweet this? My DVD's out and retweet that. And I do all that because I'm nice. And then I text them and say, do you want to come on the radio? And they go to ground. Dynamo, the magician, literally disappeared off the face of the earth. I don't know.
He's a magician.
Absolutely right. All right, let's get back to the agenda. Right. We're doing footballers are nice. We're going to talk to a QPR midfielder, but which one will it be? After a 3-week hiatus, Barry's bit returns. Barry said today, I'm going to do my bit. I'm going to do the research. But are we actually going to do it? Because there's no point in me actually putting the work in and then we not actually do Barry's bit.
So, you make me sound like I said that in a really stroppy way, which I didn't.
No, OK, you didn't do it in a stroppy way, but you have said, I quote, it's pretty rubbish. So there's a reason to keep listening. Seven, we use Twitter to find out what you want to know. Six, I ignored that. We find out how many toilets Gary O'Neill has, so that's a clue as to which QPR midfielder we're talking to. We find out all you need to know about Southport. My guess is not a huge amount. Nine, we will absolve the TalkSport audience of their crimes against football. And the 10th point is there is no 10th point. I can't say any more. Right, so look, let's get on with our phone-ins. We'd like you to get in touch with us, please. The phone number is 08717223344. The text is 81089, and you can email us via the TalkSport website. And you can tweet at Max Rushton. You could tweet Barry, but he's not logged in anywhere, so he won't see it until the show's finished. So that'd be nice for at B Glendenning. But if you tweet me, I'll actually read them out. And there's no filter. If you tweet, there's no filter. The producers can't see. So that's the way you get rude stuff through. Right, sleep. And this is loosely based on the fact there's no sporting reason for this at all. But last week, I fell asleep on the last train home from Berkhamsted. And because now I'm in my mid-30s, my friends, you know, they don't go for shaving eyebrows. You know, you get a bit older. So it was literally just filling my mouth with a biro and then taking a photo and putting it on Twitter. But there's definitely a phone-in. When have you fallen asleep? Not in your bed, not in someone else's bed, you know, not going down the Jeremy Kyle route for this phone-in. But where have you fallen asleep? On public transport or in somewhere that then got locked? We clearly like to know the furthest you've travelled when sleeping, or just the most you've been locked in, the longest amount of time you've been locked in anywhere, or when someone's taken advantage of you in a sort of nice way when you've been asleep. 08717223344. Basically, I had my whole 20s. I would wake up at Cock Foster's tube station on a Friday night. My friends would get out of Finsbury Park and then just leave me. They'd leave you and then there'd be no tube back. That's the worst, when you've missed the last tube back. I had a disappointing moment in a toilet in a jazz club in Edinburgh where I'd fallen asleep at a table and the bouncer obviously says, you know, wake up. If you're asleep, leave the place. I didn't want to leave the place. I thought, I'll have a cheeky sleep in the toilet. but obviously, when I got to the toilet, I presumed I was going to the toilet. So then I obviously, took around my trousers and sat on the toilet and then fell asleep, obviously. So then at closing time, they're trying to wake me up. They cannot wake me up for love nor money. And
so it was they're banging on the door?
Bouncers, my friends, everyone. And eventually they had to smash down the toilet door. And the lock, like the bit of the lock, actually sort of flew into my shoulder. And I had almost had a scar. You know, I got a cut from a toilet lock. And then my friend Nick had to dress me obviously, totally incapable. Times when you've fallen asleep. Shall we launch the chanting one after the break? That'll keep people excited. So, yeah, for now, 08717 223344. When have you fallen asleep in the wrong place or on public transport?
My mate Stuart, a guy I used to work with, he once fell asleep on Joe Strummer's tour bus.
Oh, good.
In Dublin.
I presume a lot of people fall asleep.
And woke up in Stranraer by mistake.
So
Scotland.
Nobody woke him. They just said it was just a sort of a sleep lackey on a tour bus.
No, there wasn't. He was supposed to interview Strummer, go from Dublin to Belfast with him and do an interview with him and then get the train back to Dublin.
Okay.
But I think they ended up drinking rather a lot of booze and he fell asleep on the bus. Nobody realised he was supposed to get off it. The bus boarded a ferry and the ferry went to Stranraer. So Stuart had to ring the office the next day and go, I'm going to be a bit late. I'm in Scotland.
All right, 08717 223344. Your sleep stories, please. It's Max Rushton and Barry Glendenning on TalkSport. Right, let's talk to Jason Manford, one of the very few famous people who, when I text, actually replies and then comes on, which is great. Jason, how are you?
Morning, how are you?
Yeah, very well. What are you doing right now, Jason?
Me, I was just trying to explain to my daughter why... What I was doing. It's quite hard. She's only four.
Okay.
It's quite a hard thing to explain that you're going to go on the radio to talk to someone. She's like, why? I was like, I don't know. I actually don't know.
She sounds like a very astute young lady.
Yeah. She's like, why? Why did you do that? I was like, I don't know. Good question.
Do you want to talk about your career, Jason, or football first?
Oh, football. Absolutely, okay. Yeah. So, do we want to talk about career? Boring.
Yeah, City Spurs. But it's always polite to check, isn't it? Because sometimes we interview people and then they...
I'm on tour. Yeah. I'm at the Manchester Arena next week. That's the only one that's got tickets left. The rest are sold out. That's it.
I did want to ask you, Jace, when you did the one show, were you constantly baffled when they said someone's going to come in and hold a buzzard on the end of the sofa and we're not going to talk to them? There's just an unidentified man holding a bird of prey that we don't talk to.
Yeah, I mean, I remember playing ping pong with Salman Rushdie and thinking, this is weird.
Did you have difficulty explaining the concept of the one show to your daughter? Now, because I imagine that would be a lot more difficult than explaining why you're ringing to talk to some people on the radio.
Yeah, my kids don't understand the job at all. I was chatting to my daughter a few weeks ago, and sort of on the FaceTime thing on the phone, and she said, "What do you actually do, Daddy?" Like, she sort of knows I make people laugh. That's basically it, you know. And obviously, she's not been to all the gigs. And and I said, I'm at the theatre. She said, "Can I have a look?" So I took the phone light out on stage with me, just as it was filling up, about half an hour before the show. There's about 2,000 people sat there, so I sort of showed it to her. And she said, oh, wow. I said, this is what I do. She's like, I thought you did it one at a time. But she didn't realise it was 2,000 people all sat there in one go.
I quite like the idea of one-to-one.
One-to-one.
Appraisals.
You just come in the side door, I just give it like two monkeys in a bath, and then you just leave.
You have to You would have to charge more, wouldn't you, to be fair? To be a real loyal Jason Manford fan, say, I'll pay the price of a 4,000-strong theatre, just have a one-on-one comedy. And that would be really bad if there was the odd gag that you didn't really find it out. There's a whole lot of awkwardness.
Yeah, that'd be awkward, wouldn't it?
and then you'd have to leave and come back and do an encore for one person. You know, I'll be off now. Get in the car, drive around the block.
You'd have to you'd judge it right if they wanted an encore or not. All right, so City Spurs. How do you see it going, Jason?
Well, I mean, we're strong at home, so I don't think we'll get beat at home for the rest of the season. I think we're looking good at home, so it's the away form, isn't it, that we're struggling with. So I think today, I don't think it'll be a massive, I don't think it'll be loads of goals. I think it'll be might be a 1-0, 2-0 maybe, I think. I'm hoping anyway.
Jason, does a part of you secretly yearn and miss the days when Manchester City were rubbish and a bit of a laughing stock?
Not necessarily the rubbish part, but certainly it's hard being disliked. I must say that is a tough thing to start, because that's never happened before, especially on stage. When I was on tour, I'd say, I'm from Manchester. I do Liverpool, one of the clubs in Liverpool. I'd say I'm from Manchester, and they boo. And then I'd say, but I support City, and they go, right, my enemy's enemy. he's my friend sort of thing. And now they just boo twice. So it's quite weird that...
So you'd rather be pitied than disliked?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Yeah, I think so. Isn't that all men?
I think when I check my Twitter, the responses to most of my tweets, I know what it's like to be pretty much universally disliked, I'd say. Do you want Joe Hart back in your team?
Absolutely, yeah. I don't think he should have dropped him at all in the first place, to be honest, but I think you've got to start. It's hard with goalkeepers. I know it's a cliche, but... You know, when they do make a mistake, it's just highlighted, isn't it? Because you're just there. Every mistake's a goal. So, he needs to get back in as soon as possible. And I think the defence looked more secure with Joe Hart as well. I think they just played with him much more. And once they've got, I don't know if Vincent Kompany's back today from injury, but once they've got that the four who are used to playing with each other, and they don't play. Garcia, like, he's just he's garbage, like, so as soon as I see him in the lineup, I think, oh god, what's happening here, like, so, but everyone else is great, so fingers crossed. I think Joe Hart is, I've not even seen a team, even suspected team sheet for today, so hopefully Joe's back in.
I'm sure you'll find it first on Talk Sport, Jason. A quick question, we're doing a phone-in on Good and Bad Chance, and it's more like an administrational question for us. Do you think we should read them out when they get texted or sing them out? Because I've got a real issue with people who can't singing on the radio.
It's a tough one. I'm supposed to be singing Blue Moon before the game today at City.
What in front of everybody?
No, like on the pitch.
What?
I know, Max.
What, just you alone with a
just
microphone?
Just me.
And we only accidentally wheedle this information out of you.
I don't know. I don't know what's happened. I went and rehearsed yesterday, and now I'm like, why have I agreed to this?
Do you want to sing it now for us, and we'll just fade you down when we get bored?
I'm absolutely bricking myself, honestly.
I bet. Do you know what? Me and Helen were going to do the national anthem before the JPT final, right?
Yeah.
And we rehearsed and it was agreed, like the start of the season. And then the Southend fans found out and got absolutely livid and said we were belittling the tournament. So we ducked out like a couple of chickens. We were like, well, we don't want to get booed, so we won't do it.
I know, but it is weird. Yesterday, I think the Manchester City Twitter feed announced that I was going to do this. They do have a musician or a singer comes on sort of a couple of minutes before the game and then starts off Blue Moon. It's a bit of fun, like, I got like a bit of abuse for it yesterday on Twitter and stuff. And I tweeted one guy back just saying, mate, it's just a bit of fun before a game.
You're belittling it.
Yeah, it was like, somebody actually said, what will the Spurs fans think? Who cares? Well, listen, away fans.
Jason, best of luck with that. That's a big gig, the official singer of Manchester City.
Well, last year I heard him chant "You Fat B Word" at Ricky Hatton, and he is a world boxing champion, so who knows what they're going to shout at me.
And let's be fair, thinner than you as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jason, we have to leave it there, but thank you so much for coming on. Much appreciated, Jason Manford. If you are going to the Etihad today, boo him royally.
Go early and don't miss that.
And he sings Blue Moon. You are listening to the warm-up with Max Rush and Barry Glendening Megazade. I'm really pleased to say Gary O'Neill, QPR midfielder, is on the line. Gary, how are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
Yeah, very well. Sometimes we do this interview and then the footballer we chat to comes off air and talks to the producer and says, they didn't really talk to me about football. So I just wonder if you've been primed ahead of this or you're happy to answer any ridiculous question. If you don't like it, you can just say pass.
I've had about 30 seconds of prep from one of your guys in the office, I'm sure I'm ready.
So I've got a question, Gary. Right, I captain Polytechnic Sixes, right, in the Southern Amateur League. It's not a high level, but I enjoy it. And we beat old Wokingham's 9-0 yesterday in the Cup. But halfway through the second half, the centre-back who was marking me sort of wandered off the pitch just mid-game, leant forward, and then just threw up. And then he came back on and played. And I wondered, is that something that only really happens at the amateur level, or have you ever been involved in an... Have you ever gone off at half-time or just mid-game thought, I've just got a hurl, or someone has?
I'm guessing your one was probably alcohol-enhanced. no, there's been some lads that have obviously... I think there was a famous one recently where one of the lads had to go off to use the toilet. I can't remember what game it was in.
Oh, Jason Punchin.
I'm sure it was...
Punchin, he needed a number two, didn't he?
So he couldn't even wait till half-time, so he had to go in and do his stuff. But no, it doesn't happen too often. I mean, it's only 90 minutes. I'm sure you can fit your toilet exploits in around the 90 minutes.
Didn't Zinedine Zidane throw up once before taking a penalty?
Oh, against England, yeah. Yeah, no, he did.
Yeah, he did.
Do you know what the centre-backs, Gary, the centre-back said, because I asked him after the game, I said, you know, were you just hungover? And he said, no, he said, I had quite a tight collar. That was what he said. Gary, we need to check. All you have to say is yes, really, but are you nice? Because we're trying to find 41 nice footballers. Footballers always get a bad press, and we're trying to change the stereotypes. But if you weren't nice, if you actually came on and said, no, I'm not, then obviously it'd be an issue for us.
No, I'd believe I'm fairly nice, fairly normal, so... I hope I pass your test.
Okay, that's good. A couple of times we've come in the morning and someone's been booked and we've checked and they're not been very nice, so we've had to change it rapidly and never mention it. All right, look, we've got 16 questions, Gary. They are not in any way football related, but as I said, if you don't want to answer it, just say pass. But none of them are too stressful. Question one: if Barry and I were to come for dinner, what would you cook us?
I personally wouldn't cook you anything. I'd probably make you a cup of tea. I'm a tea expert. And I'd get the missus to cook you one of her Sunday roasts that we're going to settle down to in a couple of hours. They're highly recommended.
Is it on the go already?
No, not yet. I think it'll probably be the next sort of half hour or so. So we've got the in-laws round as well, so it should be a nice afternoon.
Okay, and what meat are you going for?
I think it's chicken this afternoon.
Oh, good. That sounds like a nice life.
It's a good roast, a decent size as well. You wouldn't go home requiring anything else.
Okay, do you know what? One Sunday, Barry and I will just come over. We'll just find out. We'll find out where you live and do it. And we'll record it. It'll be fun. Barry, ask question two.
I don't have any questions. Once again, I've been edged out of our football.
Brilliant.
That's a nice thing.
There you are. You do too, and then we'll have the paper between us.
Okay. Well, actually, I want to know, Gary, why is there only one L in your surname? Doesn't it?
I'm not sure. I believe there's two now. That many people spell it with two that it's just easier to pretend there's two. So, but there is only one, but I'm not sure why that was.
All right. I've always wondered, and now I know.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you were coming to our house for dinner, because we obviously live together, and you, is there anything you wouldn't want? Like, would you say, don't cook me this or don't cook me that?
No, unless it was anything really strange, sort of snails or anything ridiculous like that. Anything else I'm pretty comfortable with. Okay.
A good house guest. Do you do your own laundry?
I put it in the laundry bin.
And then what happens? It's magic, isn't it?
Yeah, and then all of a sudden it's hung up in my...
Little elves come in the night.
I iron my own stuff as well because I don't like the way some other people would iron it.
Oh,
so,
really? So hang on.
And
so
if I'm desperate for anything, I'll throw it in the wash.
So you don't like the way your wife irons your clothes?
Just certain things. I find that even if they've been ironed and hung up, or when I go to put it on, I think that probably needs ironing. So I iron it again. I'm massively against creases. So
I think you might be wearing your roast chicken dinner later if she's listening to this. What time do you get up in the morning, QPR's Gary O'Neill?
I get up about 6:45.
Do you recycle?
Yes.
When did you last take public transport, like a bus or a train?
Yesterday to the game.
Ooh. Oh, so you get the underground to the game every Saturday?
I get the train and the tube to the game, and sometimes I get it to training as well, but always to home games.
And do fans, like, stop you and have a chat with you on the way?
Generally, I'm too early or too late for them, but I did get a bit of a quick escape yesterday, so there was a few QPR fans on the way home, yeah.
And if you've had a terrible game, do you wear a disguise?
No, I haven't yet. Obviously, things have been going quite well this year, so I've been OK. If I'd have been there last year, I might have took a balaclava or something with me.
That's good to know. I was going to say, what route do you take? But then we'd find out where you live, and you probably shouldn't tell us that.
Have you ever gone home on the tube wearing your full kit? Didn't some Luton player do that once?
No, I had to take my boots yesterday because my boots were a bit small Friday in training, so I thought, I'm going to take them home and stick them on in the bath. see if we can stretch them a little bit. So I had to carry my own boots. I felt a little bit Sunday League-ish, like when I was a kid, taking my own boots to the game. Obviously, you don't do that very often now. So I had my boots with me on the train yesterday.
Oh, that's good. Did you have them in a boot bag or just round your neck?
I had them in one of them sort of Nike bags that I used to wear to school. I looked a little bit like a school kid in your suit with your sort of rucksack on, one of them bags.
That's brilliant. Gary, do you think I should have kids?
I'm not sure. I need some more info first, I think.
Well, what do you need to know?
Are you in a relationship?
Yeah, I'm in a relationship.
He's his girlfriend. How long? Lovely. He's punching well above his weight.
How long?
11 months. But there was a good 2.5 to 3 years of stalking on my part.
Are you living together?
Yes.
How old are you?
I'm 34. She's 26.
Oh, she might be against it. But you sound pretty ready, Max, I think.
Okay, good. I'll let Jamie know. She'll be devastated.
Do you own a onesie, Gary?
No.
If Miley Cyrus was to twerk at you, what would you do?
Blush and try to escape.
Good answer.
What's your favourite kind of cheese?
Oh, I'm fairly basic and sort of cheese and ham toasted, so I'm guessing sort of mature cheddar.
Okay. On the cheddar scale, out of 7, Daniel Sturridge went for a 4. What would you go for?
Fairly average. Maybe we have sort of 3 in the house because we find if our little girl eats it too late, she has terrible nightmares. So we go fairly light.
How many toilets do you have?
I would guess we have 6-ish.
Hang on a sec. We need to be totally clear here because Darren Eady's got 7, right? So we need. Could we be totally sure?
Yeah, okay, let me have a quick count. Hold on.
Count them up.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Sorry, 7.
7 toilets.
That is fantastic. John,
an equal joint leader, apart from John Fashioner, who told me on Soccer AM in an ad break that he had 20 in his palace in Nigeria, but we don't know if he's nice yet. Okay, carry on, Barry.
What kind of pant do you prefer, Gary? Boxers, jockeys?
It's an interesting one, this. I don't really wear pants unless I'm playing football or golf, because when I was a YT at Portsmouth, I was really struggling for money, and I thought, how can I make this money last? And I thought, you know what? Underpants are a bit of a waste of money. I'm not really sure what they do. I decided against them at that age, and I've sort of stuck with it.
But what, you know, in winter, if you've got a button fly on your jeans, Gary, you don't get a bit chilly?
No, I'm fairly used to it. I think you get acclimatised. So I'll say if I'm going golf and it's cold, then sometimes I'll wear some slips. But apart from that, training and matches only.
Oh, interesting. The second player after Steve Howie, also commando. Who is the most famous person in your phone?
Maybe Bernard Gallagher from Wentworth Golf Club. Yeah. I hope he's doing well after his recent heart scare.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you're making a cup of tea, Gary, and you've been boasting about your tea-making prowess already, could you describe how you do it? Is it a cup or a pot, milk in first, sugar, what? Tell us everything.
It's a cup. I have a very big cup because I drink tea constantly and I don't like to keep getting up too often if I can help it. So I have a big cup of tea. I go tea bag in, hot water on top, stir the tea bag vigorously for probably 20, 30 seconds, tea bag removed, and then quite a bit of milk. I'm quite strong with the tea bag, but then quite a bit of milk as well, and no sugar.
Do you squeeze the tea bag up against the side of the mug with a spoon?
Yeah, and I'll try not to make a mess as well, because there are certain members of my family that drip it everywhere, and they bring a cup of tea to you, and then it stains the table, and I hate stuff like that, so I'm
Is that another kindly disguised dig at Mrs. on you and her lack of domestic capability?
I didn't mention the Mrs. at all then, no.
Gary, do you cry at those emotional VTs on X Factor where they say it means everything to them?
No. I used to find a few of them touching, but I think they annoy me a little bit now. It's been going on a little bit too long, I think, that I don't go for the sympathy votes anymore. I used to get sucked into the sympathy votes, but I'm sort of pure talent now.
And finally, Gary O'Neill, your last question. Are you nicer than Linvoy Primus?
Oh, that's a tough one. I'd have to say no. Honestly, I've never met a man nicer than Linvoy Primus.
Gary, that was my favourite interview I think we've ever done.
Yeah, it was great.
Thank you very much. We're gonna come round yours for a roast, and also we're gonna.
And I've got to bring a big bucket or a basket of ironing for your wife, because I'm not as picky as you.
Gary O'Neill, thank you very much. I really appreciate your time. Cheers. Gary O'Neill, QPR midfielder. Getting to know you, getting to know all about you. All right, so every week we find out about a lower league side, a side that not a lot of you know about, and then in the following week, Barry and I forget every single thing. And we're not just saying this for effect. We do. Who was it last week?
I genuinely can't remember.
Scottish, wasn't it? No, it wasn't Paisley. St Mirren. It was St Mirren. We did St Mirren last week. They brushed the water off the pitch.
Tam in my local got very upset because he's from Paisley and is a St Mirren fan, and apparently we got something wrong and didn't treat them with enough reverence and respect.
Oh, really? Well, look, as lower league fan myself, Cambridge, I feel like, you know, I can get away with that. You have to laugh at yourself if you're a small team. Today we're going to learn about Southport FC. Let's talk to Alan Scaresbrick, who is the independent Southport FC Supporters Trust Chairman. Alan, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you very much.
Jolly good. So just so you know, if there's anything amazingly fascinating that we could... It takes us... Look, we don't have good attention spans, Alan, so it's more our fault. But it's easy to get forgotten when you're a lower league team, isn't it?
Oh, very easy to be forgotten, yes. We were once a Football League side, but now we're in that's the dim and distant past.
So where are you now? Let's do some admin. What league are you in right now?
We're in the Skrill Conference Premier, and we're currently sitting 18th in the league, having been beaten 5-1 by Aldershot yesterday. Okay. Very depressing.
Disappointing result, that. Were you terrible?
Well, I didn't go myself. I couldn't make the trip, so I listened to it on the internet, and it took them all of 31 seconds to score against us. I think our defence was working like a sieve yesterday.
Alan, your nickname is the Sandgrounders. That sounds like some sort of sinister species you might see on Doctor Who. Where does that come from?
Well, it's... We're on the coast, northwest coast, about 20 miles north of Liverpool, and we have a very big beach here, and the tide very rarely comes in, so there's a lot of sand.
Okay, I like that. Who's the best player you've ever had?
Oh, that's a difficult one to say. My all-time favourite was a centre-forward we had in the 1960s, a fellow called Eric Redrobe. He had a good career with us, scored plenty of goals, was a bit of a bully. Also went on and played for Hereford and had a good career with them as well.
Your first memory?
Oh.
Of Southport, not just ever.
Well, my dad first taking me when I was about 6 years old, and we had this white perimeter wall around the ground, and a Hobby Bobby who stood in the corner to keep the crowd in check, and... sitting on the wall and watching the game and enjoying it. We were actually a good side in those days.
So you didn't even get a proper policeman in. You had a Hobby Bobby, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
see, that's so non-league, isn't it? It's great.
What's a Hobby Bobby? I don't know what this is.
Community support officer.
Really?
Yeah. Well, yes, it was before community support officers, and you had these specials, and they were sort of part-time policemen.
There was always the same Bobby in the Newmarket Road then at Cambridge United, right? And obviously, you know, he was quite funny, had a bit of chat. Trevor George, his name was. And then I played football. My sixth form played against the police. Dirtiest player I'd ever played. Honestly, kicked me all over the place. I couldn't believe it. The worst game you've ever seen. And this is, you must have millions to choose from.
Oh, well, yes. It would probably have been yesterday if I'd have gone. We've had a couple of poor displays at home recently this season, but I think the one that sticks in memory was when we went away to Stevenage quite a few years ago. We needed to win to stay in the conference, and we got beat 3-0. That was very depressing.
Alan, finally, what is the dream for Southport FC?
Well, so many dreams and aspirations. My favourite memory is actually watching us play in the FA Trophy final against... Cheltenham many years ago. Unfortunately, we got beat, so it would be nice to go back and finish the job.
I love that. I love it when the best moment it's a defeat. It just really it sums everything up, doesn't it? In the sort of the massacres. That I'm a Cambridge United fan, Alan. I know exactly how you feel. And the terrifying thing for me is top of the conference and we keep winning. Just when the wheels fall off, it's just going to be the most depressing time of my life, isn't it?
Well, I can understand that because we're the only team to have beaten you in the league this season.
All right. Well, you can have that. You can have it as long as that's the only one that happens. You never deserved it. Alan Skeswick, thank you so much for joining us. Now we know everything we need to know about Southport FC. You are listening to The Warm-Up, thanks to Capital One, the credit card that supports the supporters, Megazaid. Because of all the beautiful and new things I'm learning about you day by day. That was the best bits that we could find from our show this week. Thanks for listening to it. Listen to it again. Gets us more listeners. Then they might pay us more. Thanks for listening to it. Thanks to Capital One. I love you a lot. Bye.